Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm happy to have Michael Spreadborough, the executive co-chairman of Noble Resources, with me again to provide us with an update on the progress the company is making on moving its Beaton's Creek gold project back into production and doing a whole lot of exploration work throughout vast areas of Western Australia. Michael is a mining engineer, having more than 20 years of experience in mining world-class iron ore, base metal, and precious metals projects in Australia, and he is now leading Noble on what I think will be a very successful road back to production, even as the company is now also aggressively exploring various projects in Western Australia. Before I say hello to Michael, I should tell you the stock trades in Canada under the symbol NBO. You can buy it in the States, as I have, under the symbol NSRPF. 246 million shares outstanding, and last I saw trading at around 43 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of about $106 million. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, great pleasure to catch up again, Jack.
You know, I'd like to start off by asking you if you can review the reasons Noble paused its production at Beaton's Creek on the oxide project. It was mining oxide material. And then perhaps talk about the progress that's being made towards moving back into production with the higher grade fresh rock material that you plan to mine.
Yeah, John, I think it's a good place to start a bit of a recap. So, you know, clearly once production commenced at Beaton's Creek, we saw a shift in the grade profile of the oxide material, which really impacted the grade being delivered to the processing plant. So that obviously has, you know, two big connotations. It really does impact your dollar per ounce costs for production, but it obviously has a big impact on revenue. That led to, Novo doing, I think, two really important things at the time. One was to do more grade control drilling. We closed the pattern up to about 10 by 10, and history now shows us that that gives us really good reconciliations, which was good. So that meant that we had a better opportunity to predict the grade of the material coming to the processing plant. But on the back of that information, we were able to redo the economic optimization for the oxide. And from that, we reported December last year that we thought the oxide would run out in June. That's the economic portion of the oxide. We've been able to push that another quarter. So where we are today, well, in Perth, it's the 15th of August, but 7 days from today, we'll actually stop mining the oxide. And then we will continue for about another 4 weeks processing all of the remaining stockpiles that we have. So as we announced a little while ago, we're on track to that timetable of almost finishing the oxide phase one of Beaton's Creek at the end of September. So, you know, that was obviously extremely disappointing. I think the lessons for us always has been that with this style of mineralization, that level of drilling, the grade control at 10 by 10 is so important to the mine plan work going forwards. So, you know, that's why we ended up where we are now in a pause.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the fresh is still a good resource. We've talked about this before. It's got high grade. And we're now busy working on the feasibility, the resource upgrade and the feasibility for the fresh material to really understand its economics.
Yeah, and I believe, you know, you're doing a full feasibility moving towards production with the fresh rock material. Don't believe the full feasibility study was done initially when you went into the oxide. I just wondered, do you expect that you'll continue to drill and, you know, before you produce on a 10-by-10 basis with the fresh rock?
Yeah, very good question. So we've drilled a lot of the fresh, and we drew kind of a line in the sand at the end of May for the resource update. So we are busy, you know, doing that work, and we'll release a resource update, and that is used as the basis for the feasibility study, which is still aimed to be completed in quarter four this year. And, you know, for listeners, you know, the feasibility will be purely, you know, compliant with 43-101 requirements in Canada, mm-hmm. and also compliant with JORC in Australia. So we'll have a lot more scrutiny and governance on the work that we do. But we haven't stopped drilling, even though we drew a line in the sand at the end of May for the resource, because it takes a fair while to do it. We continue to drill the fresh, and we will keep drilling the fresh until we run out of material to drill. And, you know, we're doing that at 20 by 20 and 40 by 40 meter patterns for the resource. And we will get to a point sometime early next year that every bit of fresh that we know, we will have drilled it out to 20 by 20. And we'll use that to do a resource update.
Uh-huh.
And then prior to mining, as we talked about, the oxide 10 by 10, you know, some 3 months prior to mining, we'll crank up the drill rigs again and we'll get in and do the grade control drilling at 10 by 10. So it's really important in mining operations that the operators have a really great grade profile and accuracy in the grade going forward so that their predictions are very, very, you know, accurate. And that's what that grade control drilling will do for us going forwards once we get the opportunity to restart the fresh mining.
Yeah. Michael, I noticed there was a news release that Novo put out saying that you wouldn't need, that the government is not requiring you to do a certain kind of assessment work before you can move towards production back at Beaton's Creek of the fresh rock. Is that likely to help you move more quickly towards production?
It most definitely will. So, you know, we need three things to commit as a board to taking forwards the fresh. We need the feasibility study to be completed. We obviously need that study to come up with an economic case to start mining. And I do remind people that all of our releases talk about the need for that and the decision to mine. And then, you know, the other big one is we need approvals from the government. And the first part of that was for the Environmental Protection Authority of Western Australia to do an assessment on whether it fitted within their remit of approvals or whether they would just pass it on to, let's just generically call it, the Mines Department. And so they made that assessment and it will now go to the Mines Department. So we're busy putting together the documentation for that. And the decision by the EPA of not being involved definitely shortens the timeline. Mm-hmm. I just note in a release in the last week or so, we have noted that a party has appealed that decision by the EPA. So we are working with the EPA on some additional data. And, you know, we hope that the decision by the EPA is upheld and we can continue moving forwards. But fundamentally, not having to work through the Environmental Protection Act will shorten the time frame for approvals.
All right. I'm just wondering how soon, I know you're working towards a feasibility study now, how soon do you think the market might get some information in terms of feasibility and economics?
Yeah, so key going forwards between kind of now and the end of the year, we'll be releasing the feasibility outcomes. And then sometime, I would think, in the quarter one next year, we'll have a better timeline on when we expect the Mines Department to assess the project. So that'll be the two key things that we all look forwards. You know, how does the fresh look after all of this work and its economics and our current understanding of how to mine it? And then, you know, the timeline to get back into production. So those are the two key things that people need to look out. It is important to remind people we are being very diligent with this process. You know, we've done a complete drill out. We're doing the whole resource model from fresh using, you know, new information, and we're doing a very comprehensive feasibility study. And that's all about de-risking the project prior to us making the decision. And it also means that we'll have more confidence with whatever decisions we come up with in terms of, you know, shareholders' expectations.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to it. You have a very aggressive exploration program, and not only around Beaton's Creek, but I believe you're doing some work out towards Egina and Karratha. The Karratha area, of course, is what got the market really excited with all those large nuggets that were reported a few years back. And you know, really looking forward to what you have to say there about your new exploration work that's going on in Egina. I think it's called North, I forget the name of it. It's in the Egina area, I think, where you're drilling, right?
Yes. So I actually spent time on the ground last week, and it was actually a pleasure that Quentin Henny, you know, was able to join us from America. It's the first time that Quentin has been able to get to Australia in 2.5 years, given COVID. So Quentin and I had some great fun with other directors last week, crawling over our exploration ground. So At the moment, we have one drill rig working at Purdy's North. So that's a block of tenements that sit north of the Comet Well Purdy's conglomerate. And we have a combination of some copper, nickel, and gold targets. We've started the drilling on a gold target, which is exciting. But the reason we like that area is we have tenements that to the north of us, there's a company called Azura, which has their nickel Andover project, and they've been quite successful. So we're south of them. And then to the south of us is Artemis, which have also discovered some really interesting copper gold. So we think our tenements are well placed to see continuation of the geology. So that drilling program's underway, which is fantastic. So, you know, down the track, we'll get some assaying results. But in Egina, our Besha project, which we've been talking about for a long time, it's really been held up by needing to get heritage clearance from the traditional owners. We now have that clearance. So I would be hoping that later this month or early September, we'll be able to report that air core drilling has started at Besha. And Besha is a gold target, very large soil anomaly. The reason we're excited about it, it sits in the same structural corridor as the De Grey's Hemi project. So De Grey's ASX listed, and it's huge. 9 million ounces is the De Grey's Hemi project, and we have this large soil anomaly to the south in the same structural corridor. So that's why we get excited. So I'm hoping that for the rest of the year, from September up until, you know, the December period where we do stop drilling because of cyclones and hot weather, that Novo will continually have two drilling rigs focused on greenfields exploration.
Well, well, we'll certainly look forward to that. It sounds like some great exploration targets that you've got planning to drill. I wonder on the mechanical sorting issue that you know, a lot of people have been wondering about. Is there any progress to report on that?
Look, yeah, nothing's changed from previous recent announcements where we have put the development of the Comet Well conglomerate project on hold until next year, just because we're just so focused on this exploration and the Beaton's Creek fresh. But our intent is to redefine that development project and get going sometime in the first half of next year. I think listeners would probably be aware that we actually bought a sorter for that project, so we're well equipped to get on with that trial. We just need to clear a bit of airway, so we've all got focus on that, but it still remains an exciting part of our portfolio.
All right. Okay, moving on to the financial situation of the company. I believe you've announced now that you've sold all of the Newfound Gold shares and have used the proceeds, in part at least, to repay or pay the entire amount of debt that you had to Sprott. Do I have that right?
Correct. So last week we completed the tranche two, as it was called, for the Newfound Gold share sale to Eric Sprott. So that went through very successful. And on Friday after close of the TSX market, we announced that we had closed out the debt. So again, investors, if you look on our website or on the TSX, you'll see that announcement. So we are now debt-free, which is very, very good. So, you know, we have sufficient funds to keep on with our development projects for the rest of this year and the early part of next year. So in that regards, we're in a good position, which is a great outcome, I think, for the business.
You did announce 12,610 ounces of gold production in Q2. I guess there may be some small levels of production yet. You mentioned that you'll stop mining in 7 days, but there'll still be some material that's processed through the mill. So we might still see some production of gold yet this year?
Yes, no, we have forecast somewhere around about 8,000 to 9,000 ounces for this quarter to the end of September, and there'll be a little bit of flow on in October. So, you know, somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 ounces will be the remaining production from Beaton's Creek before we complete the shutdown.
All right. Maybe in closing, I'd like to just ask you, like I like to ask a lot of the companies I talk to, what should investors be watching out for? What sort of a share price, potential share price drivers should they be on the lookout for?
Without any doubt, I think the biggest driver we still have in our business is this exploration work that we're doing. you know, we have 11,000 square kilometres in the Pilbara, let alone the good work that we have in Victoria. And now that we've been able to clear some of those heritage hurdles and we've got two drill rigs going, that will definitely feed, hopefully, good results. You can never be 100% accurate on exploration, but we have one of the best exploration teams in the country. They have done a great job. We're drilling the right places. So definitely the news flow and exploration as we get assays will be the key thing coming forwards. And I do say to people, you know, look out for results back end of September on Besha, which will be exciting. And then in parallel, as soon as we complete work on the feasibility study and the fresh, you will see news flow on that output. So that's the two key things that we'll continue to focus on between now and the end of the year.
Very good. Anything else to add before we say goodbye this time?
No, Jay, I just think it's pretty exciting. Gold price has held up, which is fantastic. For us as a business, shortly we'll be heading off to Denver to the Precious Metals Conference so people can look out for that presentation. And that seems to be, I think, a quite exciting event.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it this year, but it is a very good event. I'm glad to hear you're going there. Well, thank you, Michael, so much for spending time with us, helping our listeners to this show get a picture of what's going on with Noble. I know there's some disappointment from the past, to say the least, but I certainly haven't given up. I think this you have a very exciting future ahead of you from what you're telling me. Of course, patience is required in this business, isn't it? You can't snap your finger and make things happen. It takes a lot of time.
Perseverance. But no, thank you very much, Tom.